The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Let's get going. We have a lot of fun tonight, and in these days, that's saying a great deal. It's very difficult out there, and I'll just say this. News going up within the hour, and you want to pay close attention. Please do just read the headlines at least every day. Keep up to date with what's going on, and I keep looking, but I see no evidence of anything de-escalating. Not anywhere. And I'm looking, but this is all by the plan. So there won't be any de-escalation, unfortunately. We won't spend any more time on that right now, but do check the headlines, share them, pass them around. Tell everyone about the site. I mean, I look at so many sites all the time, and honestly, and I say this from a perspective of true objectivity, I can't find any site that has the consistent quality of information that we all share on the site. It's there for you. It's there for all of us. So share it. Don't buy into the misdirection, misinformation. I think most of you don't. But it's a really a jungle out there. It's very difficult to make your way through it for the average person. But we give you a light, and it's up to you if you want to take a look. Okay. That said, let's bring our friend back, Admiral Harry Cooper, who has recently returned from a wonderful Southern Patrol in Germany, celebrating the heritage and history that we have to go in and look at and examine and be fascinated with. And it happened just 75 years ago or thereabout. That's all it took. And many of you growing up, when you were kids, teenagers, it was only 20, 25 years before then that World War II, the last great war in terms of a chance to avoid international usury, monetary domination and control, was fought. We came close, but we lost. And we have been living under the boot of financial terrorism, and that's what it really is, global, ever since. So these are difficult times. Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you? Well, actually, the first cold snap of the year here in Florida. I always come down with one monster cold, and so
you do sound a little bit like you have Vaseline packed up your nose. Other than that, you sound
packed
fine.
Up, but it ain't Vaseline; it's natural stuff coming down. So I'll be sniffing on a lot during the show.
It's all right. Hit you in the last few hours.
Yeah.
Well, you sound fine.
I'll sleep late tomorrow. I'll sleep all the way till 5:30.
Just remember to wake up. It doesn't sound bad. It just sounds like you have a little bit of a nasal thing. But earlier today, you didn't.
It's just aggravating, that's all.
It just came on.
Right.
I just talked to you a few hours ago.
Yep.
You were fine. You were out picking flowers and polishing up your red shoes and having a good time. I don't understand.
Yeah, it must have been somebody else with the red shoes. I was in here Well, I had to change a battery in little Jimmy, and
you bought him a new heart.
Yeah, that's it. And you know, the battery sits up, and it's a big, tall pickup truck, and mm-hmm. the battery is up about even with my ribs, and so I got to get up on a ladder. I tried changing a battery once.
I've talked to you about ladders, Harry.
Yeah, well, hey, I didn't fall off this one.
All right.
You only fall off once in your life, and then you realize it's probably not a good idea.
I heard you screaming on the way down. That's the trouble. It was terrifying.
No, my last memory when I fell off my roof was, why is my left foot stuck on my roof? And it rotated me when I came down straight on my ass, and I'm 2 inches shorter now than I was when I went up on the roof that day. But that was some time ago.
You're still tall in my book, doesn't matter.
Oh, thank you, Jeff.
All right. Harry just got back, and for those of you new to the program, sharkhunters.com. You want to go there, you want to look at it, and if you care about world history, and remember, we don't understand what's really happening to us now unless we have a reasonable understanding and a handle on what happened to us a generation or two ago. And that wasn't very long ago. So Harry leads a group sometimes twice a year to Europe, sometimes to South America, to trace what happened to Germany during the war and after the war. And these are once-in-a-lifetime opportunities for people to literally step back in history and feel it, sense it, and enjoy it. And I know saying enjoy about World War II may be a stretch for some of you, but to be able to go back and look at that is a real privilege, and it's made possible by this gentleman right here.
One of the guys who was on our tour, one of our members, said it's the best vacation he's ever had, and he's not a kid. He's in his 50s.
And there you go.
He's already signed up for next year's patrol in southern Germany and Austria.
You mean
others like Rich DelFevro, Larry Kagan? They've been with us 5-6 times over there, and it's never the exact same thing. There's always something new, and it's always a lot of fun. And like we always say, you can't take a bad photo, you can't get a bad meal, and you can't get a bad beer over there.
What about can't find an ugly woman?
Well, that's a good one too, because I don't remember seeing any ugly women over there either. But then again, being married for 37 years, I don't look so much.
Well, you took your blinders off at least for the trip, I hope.
Yeah, I always do. You know, I'm a friendly guy. So,
Hold on. Pretty girls are pretty girls. That's nature's beauty. It's like a flower. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with appreciating that. Nothing.
Right.
It's just fine.
Yep. And I appreciate that. So I wish my wife would come with me, but she won't go near an airplane. No, so, you know.
Kay is a smart lady. I hate her.
Yeah, I guess. We went, 20 years ago we went as a family, and we had an awesome time. It was fantastic. But she's had second thoughts, and I had 8 different flights during this 2-week trip, 3 over there, plus 1 up to Estonia, 1 coming back from Estonia, and then 2 flights coming home. Only one of them was smooth. The rest was Mr. Toad's wild ride.
Well,
and I know she would have probably passed out, so.
Mm-hmm. That's not a lot of fun. When you're in the back of the plane, when you're sitting in the, I've seen this once, and I'm sure many of you listening have seen this before. If you're sitting toward the rear of the cabin and it's real turbulent, you can see the front of the nose area of the plane moving left and right and up and down. And you can actually see the tube you're in moving side to side, up and down. You get that little
visual thing. I tried to sleep through it all.
Thing. Uh-huh. You know,
if we crash, I want it to be a surprise.
All right. Well, you're back, and you made it, and all the gang had a great time.
Yeah, we had a great time. The father of one of our members there, who's a U.S. Army veteran, said that we were a band of brothers. And we were. Everybody just was just super. Once in a while, we have a stinker in the group, but not this group. This was a bunch of really, really great guys.
Well, that's nice to hear. I'm not surprised. Yeah. We've done these with Harry for years now, and it's always just a great trip to vicariously take, which we're going to invite you to come along with us in a few minutes. Photographs of the trip. It's travel, so we'll just do that. And go to Guess and look under Harry's name. Did you look under Harry's name?
You look under today's guest, then click Harry's name.
That's what I mean. Oh, you got to do Guess first. But they know where it is.
Yeah, and then you click Photos.
Yep. So load that page up and don't look ahead. Don't cheat. We're going to go through this together, one picture at a time, and have a lot of enlightening commentary.
And there's quite a story behind each photo in most cases.
Yeah. We've got some great things. When you went up to, where the Berghof was.
On the mountain on over Salzburg.
Well, we're going to talk about that in some detail later on, but when you go up there, how does that feel? And you go to the Eagle's Nest, the Kelstein House. How does that feel when you go there?
Well, the Berghof, which was Hitler's former residence before it was torn down, it's a very, very eerie feeling. But at the Eagle's Nest now, you're kind of consumed with the history that went on there, but you're also caught up in the rush of
commercialized
business. Yeah, it's
tourism.
Commercialized. Yeah, that's the only thing that saved it. You know, everything else that had to do with the Third Reich on that mountain was destroyed. But this place makes so incredibly much money that it's not Nazi. It's had a special dispensation, so it causes each person represents about $50 spent there. You got to spend $25 just to get there. Mm-hmm. And then when you're there, you buy something to eat, you buy souvenirs, so you're looking at $50. They put about 30 or 40 people on that elevator, and it goes up and down every 1 minute.
Wait. 30 to 40 at a time? That elevator is that big?
Yeah, it's a pretty big elevator. Maybe it's only 20, but they pack them in pretty tight. Uh-huh. And, of course, we're standing. There were some green benches in there when, Hitler and the people from that day were riding the elevator. Uh-huh. But those have been moved out of the elevator, and you can see them. But they packed people on standing. I figure at least 20.
Mm-hmm.
So how much is 20 times $50 a piece?
Mm-hmm.
And they do that every 1 minute.
What's that? Was it $1,000?
Yeah, per minute.
$60,000 an hour.
Okay, you got the calculator. Right.
$600,000 a day. $600,000 a day.
They make a fortune. So it's not Nazi. They don't run it all year round. They shut it off in late October, maybe early November, depending on the weather.
I understand.
They open up again when the weather's decent.
Well, conservatively speaking, conservatively speaking, they could knock down $300,000-$400,000 a day in the peak season.
Okay. They make a lot in season,
Yeah. So they close it up for the winter?
We've been there when it's warm and sunny and pleasant. You can literally see the castle in Salzburg from up there. And then there were times when we'd be having snowball fights up there and drinking hot Glühwein.
Is the elevator, elevator interior is still polished brass?
Oh, boy, it is. It is. But if you take a picture, all you get is a lot of people and a little bit of elevator showing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the elevator operator starts yelling stuff in some foreign language. I don't know what he's saying.
All right. Very good. Okay, so it was a really good time was had by all.
It was great.
Many pounds did everyone gain during the trip?
I lost 6 pounds.
You did?
Several days, we were walking between 6 and 10 miles every day. Some days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you lost six. You'll find them. They're laying around somewhere.
I don't want to find them. I don't want to find them. I'd be happy to lose another 26.
All right. Well, we'll get there. We'll think good thoughts. All right. Now, let's jump into our pictures here because we really got a great, great trip for you. A lot of eye candy and mental information. Okay.
Yeah, and so, your listeners can send me an email, sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com, and ask about Shark Hunters. Also ask about next year's trip because it's already planned out, 21st of September until the 5th of October.
So, one other comment about Berchtesgaden and mm-hmm. where Hitler's residence was and
right.
Goering's residence was, and they were all... If they had only been smart and saved all of those things and kept them up like they do the Eagle's Nest, the Kelstein House, they would have made $1 million
fortune.
A day
a lot.
With tourism. Yeah. So, stupid. That's another thing. Anything new on the house, the Inalco house, the property?
Haven't heard a bit. And I was going to send an email to my friends down in Argentina, but the day just got away from me.
I've emailed Martine 3 times in the last week. Nothing back.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm. Mm. Not yet.
Well, tomorrow or the next day, I'll send an email. If I don't get an answer, I call him. And that gets an
Very
answer.
Good. Yeah.
Well, not only Martine, but I've got other friends down there, too. Hector
sure.
Spinelli and Dr. Mariscotti. And,
I know I had a question. Is Holdeen's book still available to purchase?
Yeah. Yes and no. I'm not. I think it's on as an e-book. Otherwise, you know, I'm trying to get the thing published for these people who put it together, but it's 1,400 pages. Who's going to buy a 1,400-page book?
Me.
Okay. I think you can get it online as an e-book. I'll check it out, and then I'll let you know. Don't let me forget it.
Yeah, I would like a print copy, if there are any left. It's in English, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's in English, right?
Right. It's translated. I got it on my computer here. The doctors down there in South America gave it to me. And I kept telling them, you know, you got to cut it back. Because nobody except Rents is going to buy a 1,400-page long book. But
well, this book's as big as a phone directory, basically.
Yeah.
It's big. Now, I wonder, is it possible to somehow take an e-book format and use that to generate hard copies?
You mean on your own computer or
No.
Commercially?
No. Commercially.
I can do it commercially. Because we've got 60 books in print already, which we put together here.
Yeah.
But I don't know if any publishing house is going to be able to print a book like that.
Well, I know it's a bigger format than normal too. These are 8.5 by 11 pages, or bigger.
We can put it in 8.5 by 11, and then it still comes out to be more than 1,100 pages. That's a lot.
Well, it was.
Can you imagine what that book would weigh?
Yeah, I'd go 11 by 14 if you could. It's a scrapbook. It was a scrapbook.
Yeah,
it still is.
Right.
Didn't you once tell me that there were copies that were printed somewhere? They were $120 each or something?
No, I'd never heard about that.
All right. Okay.
Next.
Let's go to our tour. 2023.
Total One.
Southern Patrol with Shark Hunters and Harry Cooper. Sounds like Harry Cooper and the Royal Hawaiians.
I'm going to get hip and call myself H Square from now on, because that means Happy Harry.
Well, you remember Harry Owens and the Royal Hawaiians? You don't. He had a TV radio program. Harry Owens and the Royal Hawaiians. It was a big band and all that.
I must have slept through that one.
Oh, Harry Owens and the Royal Hawaiians. All right, picture number one.
Picture number one.
All of you are ready to go. Don't cheat. Please stay with us on this. All right.
That is the world-famous Hofbräuhaus. They list themselves as the world's most famous tavern, and I think that's correct. It's famous primarily because this is where Hitler used to hold his speeches when he was a young politician working his way up. When we got there, the access to the third floor, which is where he made his speeches, was blocked. There were several very large guys in suits at the foot of the stairs saying something in a foreign language, which I think means no. So
really?
While the rest of my troops were enjoying great German food,
uh-huh,
I did some recon and found an unguarded stairway, which you look at photo number two. And there was that old saying, there's a sign that said Eingang verboten, which we all know means shark hunters welcome here.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought my troops around. We went up the stairs pretty quick. And picture three, I put a circle where Hitler used to stand when he made his speeches. The stage at the far left side of the picture all the way down, it was not built at that time. So Hitler used to stand there. They could put 800 people in this room. So we were there happily taking pictures, and then all of a sudden these big guys come running up yelling something in some foreign language, which I think means get out of here. So we went back to our table, finished our lunch, and then we went by foot to Oktoberfest, to the Wiesn, which means the meadow, which is where Oktoberfest always is.
Before we go to Oktoberfest, picture number three.
Yeah.
That's a big, beautiful hall, and that's upstairs in the Hofbräuhaus building, right?
Right, it's third floor.
All right. Look at the size of that. Now, in the beginning, in 1919, weren't we talking about this recently? Anyway, 111 people used to come hear him talk, 110, 112, in the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a very big audience. So by this time, this is probably early 20s that he's here, picked up a following and was addressing people.
Yeah, and when you see him making speeches, if you know what to look for, you'll see that he's in this room making some of his speeches. Some were made elsewhere, of course, but in this room right here.
Interesting. All right, which city is this?
In Munich.
Okay.
Munich, actually München, which means the city of the monks. It was a religious center way back.
Well, it means Oktoberfest now. Let's go.
Yeah, pretty much. And Oktoberfest, you'll see in photo four, that is probably the world's biggest state fair, county fair, whatever you want to call it. You see the big, on number four, you look there, you see that building in the background, whatever it says, Veroni on it. That's... there are, I think, six of them there. The beer tents, more or less, but they're just massive. Mm-hmm. And only Munich brewed beers are featured there. But you got so much more. There are little booths with games in them, and you can buy soup, and you can get a beer, and you can do all sorts of stuff. Buy souvenirs, candies, cakes, and all these little stands. And then we always look for a place to come in and sit down, which you'll find in photo 5.
Look at the Ferris wheel in the background. That's a big Ferris wheel.
Yeah, yeah. It's quite. You can't explain it. You got to be there. You have to experience it. And when you're in these big beer tents, each one has its own oompa band, mm-hmm. and each one is, I think, trying to drown out the ones in the next tent because it's just rocking in the place. I've got some videos of it. I'll send you a copy of the video for your own whatever in the next day or two if you want. And it's just rocking. And the last time we were there, which was 2019 before the Kung Flu scamdemic, the singer came down, I guess it was during a break, came to our table. And she and I were arm in arm. There were about 6,000 people in there. We were not arm in arm. I had my arm around her. We were singing Delilah. Fortunately, they heard her and not me. Otherwise, the tent would have emptied out. But it's just so much fun. And you see the girls in their dirndls and their boosted up boobs carrying the beer in the big glass is called a mass, which holds 1 liter of beer, and they'll have 4 or 5 in each hand, and they'll be going table to table, and it's something you can't describe. You got to be there. You got to see it.
Well, look at picture 5 on the right. There's a young lady, 20, I don't know, with one of those big mugs, and she's draining it.
Oh yes, they do that. They drain the mugs. And unfortunately, sometimes, well, or maybe fortunately, you know, people get a little bit wasted, and then they start doing stupid things, and security has to come and haul them out of there. But they're all happy drunks. As you know, my Irish granddad must be rolling over in his grave because I don't drink beer. I had Coke.
You always do. I know.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I just don't like, you know, I gave up drinking booze way back in February 1987 was the last time I was drunk. And boy, I remember that one. So never again. So far this year, I think I've had 3 drinks. And usually I'll order a Bloody Mary, take 2 or 3 sips out of it, and then give it to my wife. It just, you know, tastes change over the years.
Got it. All right, that's number 4. Number 5, 2023 Southern Patrol. When did you get back? A week ago?
Let's see. It was on the 12th, yeah. Yeah, exactly a week ago.
Uh-huh. Nice. And you're actually, you told me today you were almost caught up with a tremendous backlog of emails and things. You're getting close.
Oh, God, I had, what was it? I sent out a Hotmail to all our members. I had just almost 2,000 emails sitting on my computer. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them can be just kicked off. You know, some of them were the magic secret on how to grow your hair back if you're bald. I'm 84 years old. I got more hair on my head than the average 20-year-old, so I don't need that. And there's other things that we won't go into mentioning what they do for you. I just exit all those things and get down to the meat of it. I still got down to about 200 and something emails that I had to act upon, and those are caught up now, and sent emails to the guys that were on our patrol telling them what a great time we had and thanking them, and sent a nice email to all the hotels we use, and I'm already getting emails back saying, okay, we got you reserved for next year.
Nice.
Yeah, good people.
Now, picture number 6, aptly named number 6, how does Harry lose 6 pounds with food like that? But he did.
I don't know. It just those. And when we get down to Austria, my favorite down there is called Heiße Liebe, which is German, means hot love. It's three big scoops of vanilla ice cream in a big container, big jug, bowl, whatever you call it, and hot raspberries poured over it, and about 4 or 5, 6 inches of whipped cream. And I got poor Ken Curtin, he's one of our guys, I got him hooked on him. He's 85 years old. He's a transplanted Aussie living in France. And now I just heard from him today, called me from France. He's making them himself in his own house. I don't understand how it happens.
All right.
But that's
that looks
what we're
like,
looking at there in number six is warm apple strudel with ice cream and whipped cream and a bunch of little chunks of fruit.
That whipped cream does not look anything like Americans consider whipped cream coming out of a can, a pressurized can. That looks like it's a big dollop of really substantial whipped cream. It looks nice.
Yep, and it's yummy.
Well, you don't have to push
from there,
that's great.
We went to a really fantastic air museum.
Yeah,
just north of Munich, in a town called Oberschleißheim, and they've got stuff like this World War I. I think that's a Fokker, and there was one ungodly looking thing that some guy in East Germany built. He was going to fly his family over the wall into West Germany, but just about the time he got ready to fly, his neighbors ratted him out. And it goes all the way up to the ME-262 jet fighter, and they've got the ME-163 rocket fighter, and some post-war stuff. And there's a beautifully restored Heinkel H-111 bomber in there, which we'll see a picture of that directly. So we've been, and this is all in the hangars of a World War I Bavarian Air Force training squadron, because there was no such place as Germany in World War I. They were all principalities, and this was the Bavarian Air Force. And then along came Bismarck, and he put them all together. And then if you look at the next picture, that's Reverend Scott Laurie, and there he's ready to take off. And several of us had to pose with our pictures in there. And we also go up into the control tower, but that is not an elevator. That is a bunch of stairs, a whole bunch of stairs going up and up and up to the control tower. And you can walk out on a balcony sort of thing around the tower and feel the breeze in your face, look out over the field, and imagine, you know, the Red Baron or somebody up there. Because there's no runways in World War I stuff. They all took off.
That's why they call them fields, airfields.
There
was
right.
a field.
Right.
They'd level it out and it would be grass.
Exactly. And they could take off and land on that because those planes didn't need a whole lot of roll to get up in the air. I think they take off at about 40, 45 miles an hour. Their top speed wasn't anything to write home to mother about either.
No. Fun. Very good. Okay. Picture number nine.
Yeah, number nine. That's that Heinkel HE-111 bomber. And all the aircraft in there are maintained in fantastic shape. There's, for each photo you're seeing here, I had to pick through about 20 photos just to pick the one for that particular moment, because I took about 1,000 photos. Jeff Carson sent me an email. He's got 5 discs full of photos coming our way. And Scott Lowry said he took 5,000 photos. You know, if you don't have to pay for film and get them processed, you can shoot a whole lot of photos, which we did. Yes. So I had to pick and choose. But I'm going to post them on our website shortly so people can... Go ahead.
When you first went on these trips, you were Kodak film rolls, developing them, prints, the whole thing. No more.
Right, so you didn't shoot a lot. Now just pointing, bip, 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 away you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, your listeners can send an email, sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com, and just ask whatever questions, and I can tell them how to access all the photos, because there's a bunch of them.
How many are you going to end up posting? Any idea?
Well, probably minimum 500, maybe more.
Yeah.
As it is, you know, we've got just short of 300,000 photos on my on a hard drive. Plus, I've also got six external hard drives, ranging anywhere from 1 to 2 terabytes. They're mm-hmm. getting loaded with photos because I duplicate them all over the place. I'm just overly cautious about that.
Well, you should be. It's understandable.
Yeah.
I mean, when you lose things digitally, it's they're gone, usually, unless you
yeah.
backed them up. It's not
Amen.
Like losing a,
so,
a, not like
so
losing
I'm just overly cautious, make sure that some of these photos are irreplaceable. You know, from as you know, I was good friends with most of the old U-boat skippers and a lot of the flyboys, like Gunter Rall, the third most successful fighter pilot ever in history. 275 shootdowns confirmed. I was a guest in his house, and Kretschmer, I was in his house I don't know how many times because I had a sleeping room there, and he said I was part of his family. So the photos these guys gave me, I scanned them, and it would be such a horrible loss to history if I ever lost them, guys. So
you're not going to lose.
I'll move us along because we got a lot of photos. But any place you want to stop, just tell me. Hey, shut up and let's talk here.
No, this is good. All right, the next photo is of a world, maybe the most famous river in the world, huh? I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting though. This is the Blue Danube. Everybody knows da 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 boop 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 the Blue Danube waltz, etc.
Oh, wait a minute. Except wait, hold on. Wait, stop the music. Hold on.
Yep.
Hold on, almost. It was all about melody then. Beautiful melody.
Oh, yeah. Who was that Chopin that wrote the Blue Danube?
Strauss
waltzes.
Johann. All right, we got to let him hit stride here. Almost. It's for our younger audience.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
That's the Blue Danube. Now, the river that inspired that, and Johann Strauss was the waltz king, no doubt. Is
right. Unfortunately,
I got to tell you something else about this river in a minute, which you may not know. Go ahead.
Okay, but this is not the Danube. It's the same river, but in Germany it's called the Donau. Same river,
mm-hmm.
but in Germany it's called the Donau. And we stay mm-hmm. in the Donau Hotel. Nice people. And they're the ones who were the first ones to email back and say, we've got your rooms ready for next year. Nice people.
Nice.
A lady and her daughter run the place, and you'll see the breakfast they lay out in a moment.
Do you know where the Danube runs and where it eventually ends up?
Yeah, it ends up at Constanța, Romania.
It goes through Romania, right on the border. right? With Ukraine, and ends up in the Black Sea.
Right, and they sent six Type 2 German U-boats down this river on barges to form the 33rd U-boat flotilla in Costanza, and they were interdicting small ships, not the big, you know, 10,000-ton liners or any of that right. stuff, but just fishing boats. They didn't torpedo a whole lot. They machine gunned them with 20-millimeter, you know, put fishing boats under and like that.
What happened to those six U-boats?
One was destroyed in a bombing raid. The other, let's see, there were three of them I know. I'm not sure about the other two, but when the Red Army was closing in on Costanza, they got in those boats and headed across the Black Sea to Turkey. Yeah, mm-hmm. And just before they got to the shore, they pulled the plug and sank them. And one of our members, who has a ton of money, wants to raise one of these boats and put them into a museum. But the problem is the sea is not friendly to iron.
No, I know. But that's a very noble dream. Maybe he'll pull it off if there's enough of the hull left.
Yeah, the pressure hull is all left. But the stuff that makes it look like a U-boat, that's just a thin outer plating, which is not pressurized. Right. That, in most cases, has been eaten away by the salt water, and it's gone. All you got is a great big, long steel tube, and with a steel tube sticking up out of it, that's the interior part of the conning tower, and it's not really what you want.
Has he sent you photos of these?
Well, he hasn't, because he's... Now he's an American living here, but I've gotten photos from other people, and they do look in pretty fair shape. But now you're looking at, you know, massive amount of money. You're going to have to pay off and bribe somebody to let you do it, and then you got to raise them, you got to haul them.
Harry, are there any U-boats sunk, and my God, there's a lot of them, that are still reasonably intact and look like U-boats after all these years?
I haven't seen any photos of any of them. The ones that we see photos of, they're looking really, like I said, like a gigantic steel tube. U-352, U-85, U-853, these are all sunk in American waters. And the seawater has just evaporated at the outer hull.
You know, in about 15 or 20 years, the Titanic will be all but gone. And you know what's doing it? It's not the salt. There are actually bacteria that are eating the iron.
Oh, okay.
It's a new... I didn't know this. I read a big, long paper about it. Bacteria are actually eating the iron of the Titanic.
Wow.
And it'll be gone in time.
I thought it was all Trump's fault.
Yeah.
Or everything else is Trump's fault. Or global warming. No, no, that was proven to be false, so now it's... climate change. Okay.
Did you hear what, not to get off subject too much here, but we always do, Trump's former attorney.
Uh-oh, yeah. Lewandowski?
No.
Okay. We're in a different direction.
Yeah, it's Sydney, the woman.
Okay.
Oh, no.
What about her?
I don't have it. Hold on. I had the story here. Where is it? I got to find it.
The one I thought you were referring to, which was in the news 2 days ago. Allegedly, Corey Lewandowski allegedly is having an affair with Governor Kristi Noem.
Oh, I saw that a week ago. I did, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yawn. All right. Yeah. Sidney Powell, if you remember, was Trump's attorney. I was trying to find out when she separated, but she separated from Trump a long time ago. She was charged in Georgia, along with Trump and 20-some others, with interfering with the election process. Apparently, these are felonies, and you can go to prison. And it's some, you know, crappy little weird self-serving interpretation of the law. Well, she cut a deal. Her trial was supposed to start tomorrow in the state of Georgia. She cut a deal with the state of Georgia and the prosecution to basically only have to pay a $9,000 fine, a couple of years probation, no prison time, but she has to agree to come back and testify against you-know-who.
Yeah.
So they've turned her.
Lying.
They've turned her. Basically, they can crush anybody, but they've turned her. She'll now have to testify against Trump if they call her.
The specter of going to prison for X number of years.
That'll do it.
Yeah. I always felt that if I ever got sent in prison, I wouldn't be alive after a month. I would just give up and die.
Probably anybody with a real heart would certainly consider the same. Ex-Trump attorney Sidney Powell pleads guilty in Georgia election subversion case. Her plea deal may see her testify for the state against Trump. I'm afraid they're going to convict that man in a number of courts.
They're trying so hard just to keep him from being a president.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's the only guy that was steering this country in the right direction. And then, you know, as you and I have discussed, Obama brought the U.S. to the edge of the cliff, and Hillary was supposed to shove us off. But that got delayed, and so now we got Jackass Joe and the Ho in there, and they're doing what Hillary was supposed to be doing. But anyhow, we're not supposed to be political on this.
Not supposed to be.
No. If I had the money, I'd run, but I want to be dictator, not president.
Well, we've got a dictator now, so wouldn't make much difference.
Yeah, and it ain't Joe. No. Anyhow, moving along.
Yes,
number
sir.
11. This is so cool. The weather in Germany was just so awesome. We're having dinner in an outside beer garden almost every night in Munich. This one's in Ingolstadt. And then down in Krumpendorf, Austria, and then in Berchtesgaden, eating outside, you know, with the linden trees, and man, talk about stepping back into history.
The linden trees.
Yeah.
Sigmund Romberg's The Student Prince.
Yeah, Unter den Linden.
Yeah, there was a song in there, they mentioned linden trees, and they
right.
are. Right.
They got them all over Germany. But that's, you know, just some of us there having really great dinner and eating outdoors, just a hell of a deal.
Right.
So hop on to number 12. Damn, there's that stuff again.
Yeah, that's how you lose 6 pounds, just get on that diet.
Apparently, between that and walking 6 to 10 miles a day, that'll get it. And you'll notice I don't have a beer there. That's Africola.
So these are Coca-Cola gardens where you go, not beer gardens.
That's right. And that's not even Coca-Cola. That's Africola. But that's another story. It's a different brand.
Look at that.
But there you see. Yeah, you
see
the warm apple strudel.
Is that strudel as good as it looks?
It's dynamite. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I eat around the sugar, so I don't have problems with my blood sugar.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure thing.
Uh-huh. And number 13, there's somebody with a guilty look on his face eating that strudel.
You look like you're deprived of food and losing weight there. 6 pounds at least.
No, I look fat.
No,
I need to walk 10, 12 miles a day.
You look like Phil Harris.
Oh, geez, that's reaching back into history.
That's the joke for people. Look him up. No, you look great.
Oh, yeah. Now, you look at 14 and 15. That's only a small part of the breakfast that Ava and her daughter Clarissa put out. 14.
What's on the plates? Is that like a cinnamon cake kind of a thing?
Take a look here.
There's a bunch of plates with pieces of cake, looks like.
Yeah, there's pieces of cake, pieces of sweetbreads, and in the basket up towards the top and the left side, those are croissants. And there's all sorts of, in all those containers behind the table, that's bran flakes, oat flakes, all sorts of cereal stuff. And then click to the next guy, which is number 15, and you've got all your cold cuts, and there's pineapples, and there's tomatoes, and these are only two of the shots. I had to drop off another half a dozen shots because, you know, we just don't have the time. It's
that's
you
breakfast.
Don't go hungry. Yeah, that's breakfast. That's Europeans. Did they just happy if you're eating?
They haven't discovered eggs there yet, apparently.
Oh, yeah, there's eggs, too, but I just didn't have room to put them in. There were fried eggs, there were scrambled eggs, and there were three-minute boiled eggs. It just, you know, you can't go away hungry.
No. Well, beautiful food pictures, as always.
Yeah, I love going over there. Just unfortunately, ever since they formed the European Union, it costs a lot more money because the dollar was strong against the Deutschmark and very strong against the Austrian Schilling, but now against the euro, we is weak.
Yeah, we are.
So,
next year, there'll be another tour. Hopefully, the world will still be here. And if you want
to
go...
I'm planning to have it here.
Yeah. If you want to go, this is just a sample of what's available for you. Once-in-a-lifetime trip. All right, hold on, gang. We'll pause and come right back, and we're going to dive into our photos. We have a lot to go through, so we'll do that.
Right, come back to number 16.
Yes, sir. Right after this, in just a few minutes.